Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to be diving into the NBA. NBA is back. Bulls are back. Right? Interesting start for the Bulls season. But lots to get to in the NBA. A lot of surprising starts, lots of slow starts. Always hard to judge early in the NBA season. But we got your back here on RMT. We're going to be giving predictions. We're going to be talking about the Bulls, a lot of action to come. We're also going to talk a little NFL, a lot of fantasy implications this week, big week in Fick Cup world. So we're going to talk NFL, we're going to talk Fickner Cup, we got new power rankings, we got analysis, let's get after it. Riddle Me That is brought to you by PointsBet. If you haven't done so already, get to your phone. Get to the casino if you have to, but you can do it right off your phone. Download the referral code YoungCS13. That's YoungCS13. Right? You type in that code into PointsBet, you're a new user. You get two risk-free bets, one standard bet, one points bet. I've done it. My friends have done it. Sports are back, baby. So if you're looking to get into the betting game, here's a way to do so. No risk involved. As I said, you can do it right from your phone. You don't have to go into the casino. To the NBA here. NBA is officially back. I believe this is, you know, start of week two for the NBA. I want to say it started last Tuesday. And as I'm just checking, it did, with that Celtics Sixers tip. I feel like it was the Sixers played every day last week, and they lost in some sort of heartbreak fashion. They did get it back yesterday against the Pacers. I actually love that Sixers team. Despite them losing, I mean, look at that schedule they had. I mean, they got to play at Boston, and then they have to go home against the Bucks, who always play them well. It's been definitely a tough start, but then, you know, that's who you're going to be playing in the playoffs. So, you know, it's all good because, like I said, it's the first three games. All of a sudden, the Sixers might win 10 in a row, right? So I like where the Sixers are at. Mavericks are an interesting team this year. Luka and the Mavs blowing out the Suns the first game of the season, end up losing that game, you know, up by 20. Chris Paul was terrible. But it was the play of Damian Lee and Wet Like I'm Book bringing the Suns back to life. But then the Mavericks the next game are home against Memphis, who have also been great this year, right? Only lost one game, which was Saturday, losing by about 50 to the Mavericks. So maybe it'd be one of those teams that, you know, great offense, got to work in that defense a little bit. But, I mean, their defense showed up on Saturday because they only allowed the Grizzlies to score 96 points. It's going to be a wild season. Just watching the teams the first week. Boston looks great, almost unstoppable, until you run into a buzzsaw in the Bulls. I mean, you got to be kidding me. The Bulls were getting smacked yesterday by almost 20 in the first quarter. Come back and pretty much win by 20. Right? I mean, I did not see that coming. Shout out Bears as well. Chicago parlay plus 1,000 last night. You know we smacked it. A little $1 holla, win 20. I'll take it. Right? No one believed in the Bulls. No one believed in the Bears. Right? There's been nothing to root for in Chicago. Nothing. Right? Last night was, you know, a beautiful thing. Last night was almost like a gift, you know, to make sure that we're all still breathing over here, like a breath of fresh air. Right, both teams winning handily. Towards the end. You know, so this leads me into my Bulls segment here. 2-3 on the year. Right? Or are they 2-2? Let's see. So they start the year, they take down Miami. Right? Huge win at Miami. Beat down Miami. Right? 6-point underdogs. We're losing most of the first half, but made a run, never looked back. Then we take it to the Wiz on Friday. Right? Ugly game. Wiz outlasts us. DeRozan shot at the buzzer for the win. Bricks. 1-1. Saturday, at home against Cleveland. Cleveland wrecked us. Right? You had Evan Mobley, the new addition in Donovan Mitchell, Jared Allen, Kevin Love. My God, Kevin Love just didn't miss. So that Cavs team is going to be dangerous. You know, they looked really good. They looked like they were playing with, you know, a mission like we're going all the way. Don't forget about Caris LeVert on the Cavs as well. Great pickup there. But then we have, the Celtics in town last night, right? And it's looking like, okay, we know how this story is going to go. And then the Bulls just, something switched. Like, you know, they look like the old Bulls. You know, they were slashing and cutting, nailing threes when they had to. Defense picked up. Vucevic with about 50 rebounds. LaVine picked it up. You know, he was slow to start. Caruso was driving to the hoop. Javonte Green, Derek Jones throwing him down. Drummond bringing in some energy. So it was like Dragic doing his thing. He was like, okay, this is the depth we're looking for on the Bulls, right? Io with almost like, you know, he was draining last night. Hit 4 or 5 threes, 20 points. I mean, that is the team effort where you're like, wow, if you see this Bulls team, they're going to be... And everyone's writing off the Bulls right now, right? I was just watching NBA Today the other day, and it was just like a bloodbath on how the Bulls just... If they should start tanking now with, you know, and to be fair, they're basing it off, you know, no Lonzo. If LaVine can't stay healthy, yeah, I agree. The Bulls have a lot of question marks regarding, you know, their health. But I think if they can't stay healthy, they're going to be another force to be reckoned with. Okay, so they're 2-2. You know, I was thinking they were 2-3, but I think I was just assuming yesterday when I was watching the Bulls game that the Bulls were going to lose, but they won. So 2-2 on the year. You know, I like where they're at right now. You know, it is so funny though, because, you know, they won their first game of the season versus Miami, and I wasn't trying to get my hopes up too high, and everyone's texting me, they're like, are the Bulls back, right? It's one game, right? And you can't get, you know, if the Bulls have taught me anything over the years, it's you cannot, you know, you can't get too excited, but you also can't get too down, because they're going to stay in it, right? So, of course, you know, they proved my point. First things first this year was winning a tough first game and then losing the next two, not looking good, and then winning again. So I think more of a story is they play to the level of their competition, because so far this season, +6, +5, bang, bang, you know, even money, not so good. And of course, yeah, their two wins on the season are against Miami and Boston, like two teams that took them to town last year. Right? So, interesting. Actually, I think the Bulls had a nice win against Boston last year. Might have even split the series. But, you know, two of the better teams in the league, and the Bulls take them down. So, you know, we as a fan base, I think, have to let it ride as the Bulls. I think we're going to see some nights, you know, why they are a good team. And we're going to see some nights why they aren't so good. Right? And then, you know, overall, we're going to get a grasp on what kind of team they're going to be. Are we going to see a Boston-Miami Bulls team, or are we going to see a Wizards-Cavs Bulls team, right? And I think we're going to have to be patient, because basketball, man, just from watching all these teams play, it is a hard sport to be consistent in. I mean, you got teams coming in day in and day out, right? And every team's hungry. Every team has a motive. You know, whether that's winning a championship or just staying relevant. So everyone's going to give you, you know, their A game, especially if you're a pretty good team. So, like, the Bulls, For instance, I feel like teams get up to play the Bulls because they got talent. They're feisty. People know them. They got DeMar Daddy. We got LaVine. You know, we got Vooch. We got a squad. Right? We got a squad. So, you know, we definitely see people as A games. You know, we're not one of those teams. You know, so that's why I think when we're underdogs, you know, people assume that we're just not good again, because last year we were so bad against good teams. Right? So anytime the Bulls are going to play a good team, they're going to be heavy underdogs, I feel like, at least for right now. So, you know, maybe that's the time to hammer them, because when no one believes in them, that's when they do well. And when people do believe in them, that's when they suck. That's kind of always been the Bulls' RA, or MA, I should say. Right? So, overall, though, right, I'm gonna give the Bulls a B to start the season, which I think is a solid grade. Was not trending well after that Wizards game, right? But they brought it back last night, got their grade level up. We'll see how they produce in the weeks to come. I'm very interested on the next podcast to see where we're at. And the best thing about talking about the Bulls on the podcast is each week it's gonna be different, right? Either they're breaking our hearts or they're making us money, right? Or they're just bringing us joy. So definitely a day-to-day relationship with the Bulls. Shout out Cough Daddy. Right before I get off this NBA segment, shout out Cough Daddy. Hit a huge parlay last night. Two parlays, actually. One was a Bulls. So it was a two-team steam, as I like to call it. So the Bulls-Celtics, same game. Parlayed with a Nets-Grizzlies, same game. Came down to LaVine points for the Bulls, same game. Got it with, like, no time left. And then DeRozan, for his $1,000 same game, stayed in for 30 more seconds, cashed 2 points, got subbed out. Cashes them both. FanDuel currently banning the bums. So Cough Day's on DraftKings right now. He's trying to figure out what his next step is. So stay tuned. You know, we post his plays on Action. He was due. We talked about it yesterday. We knew it was coming. So we got something cooking here in the Wilton household. So watch out. So we're going to hop in right into the bet of the week. And we're going to go through the whole slate tonight on what the boys got cooking. Kind of a special here. You know, usually I give you a play. We're going to give you all three of my plays tonight. And some of them are parlays, one is a single play, and these are all kind of a collab with the boys. So kind of a Wilton House bet of the week on this wet Tuesday, right? It is raining outside. It's gross, but we still got four NBA games, and that's enough to work with for us as NBA bettors. So we're going to start off with Kyle Coughlin's two-team steam of the night, plus 25-25, so 2,525. I put $2 on this parlay to win 50. Coughlin put 5 to win 130, along with Elsie. But it's a two-team same-game parlay, so four teams total. And we're going to start with the 6 o'clock game here, so you might want to get your notepad out. All player props. At the 6 o'clock game, we got Detroit Pistons, Washington Wizards. It's gross, but perfect for us. We got Jaden Ivey over 12.5 points. We got Beal over 19.5 points. Cunningham, 17.5 points over. Porzingis over 15.5 points. And Porzingis over 6.5 boards. So that's 5 legs in that game. And then we're going to take it to the Mavericks and the Pelicans, who started 6:30. So what probably will happen is tonight, you know, we'll do a little two-teamer for the 6 o'clock slate and then a two-teamer for the 7 and 9 o'clock. We'll see. Might do this bet tonight. But to continue that bet, CJ McCollum over 21.5 points. Valanciunas over 13.5 points. Doncic over 28.5 points. Valanciunas over 9.5 rebounds. McCollum, two made threes. Doncic, 3 made threes. So as a total, that's 11 legs. As I said, $2 to win 50. A lot of value in this. As I said, Coffee Day is hot right now. So we're going day by day, bet by bet. But the cool thing about this is you put a low amount of money down, you hit one or two of these, you are set for a long time. So you can continue to put as much, you know, as much money as you want on these, but small wagers, even if they lose, you have enough, you know, to put in for the next day. So that's the best part about putting small amounts of dollars to win lots. That's the first same game. So that's the big Hail Mary, you know, 11 leg, do what you got to do, same game parlay. Now, this next bet, right? This is a four-team tease here, NBA tease. We're getting nasty with it. Me and Johnny Yargames collab. You know, we were close last night. The Magic at plus 12.5, lost by 13, screwed us. Nets ended up not covering either, even though the game was close. Didn't matter at that point. But we're on to the next one. Putting $5 down on this one. Plus 207. Some more manageable, but we love it. We got Mavericks money line. Okay, against the Pels. No Zion, no Ingram. We got Pistons plus 12.5. All right, original line was plus 5.5. We're moving it to plus 12.5. So we're buying 7 points against the Wiz. We think this is a gross matchup here. We think it's going to be close. We don't think any team will win by more than 12. Well, maybe the Pistons will, but not the Wizards. Thunder. We love this pick right here. Currently down to plus 8.5 against the Clippers. No Paul George tonight. Thunder 0-3. We love 0-3 teams, right? We love teams that are 0-3, especially when they're home. We're taking them Thunder plus 18. Okay, plus 18 for the Thunder. So we're buying 10 points on the Thunder. You might be able to get plus 18. You might, I think when we took it, they were plus 9.5, so we bought 9 points. You might only be able to get 17.5. We still love it, and you'll love why on my next pick after this parlay. But we still, so far we have Mavericks money line, minus 250. Pistons, plus 12.5. Thunder, plus 18. And our last pick here, which we just absolutely love, Golden State Warriors, plus 9.5. They're currently, I think, almost down to plus 1.5 on DraftKings. We're buying 8 points on the Warriors. I think that they can win outright. You know, but we love it because, you know, we think it's going to be a close game, Suns, Warriors. You're giving 9 points for the defending champs. I will lose on the Warriors not covering that. So Mavericks money line, Pistons plus 12.5, Thunder plus 18, Warriors plus 9.5, plus 207. Little 5 on it. And my last bet here. This is all me here. You know, we love Thunder plus 18.5. Love. You know what we love even more? Thunder money line, $3 plus 360. I don't know what it is. The Thunder are great at covering. Occasionally getting that money line win. The Clippers haven't lost yet. I love undefeated teams playing gross bad teams on the road early in the NBA season. I just learned from last year, there's so much value on the Thunder at home, I feel like, on this game. Plus 360 versus a team that, you know, there's something about trying to get that first win, right? And there's no Paul George. You have Kawhi. He's, you know, I feel he's been playing spotty. He might play more tonight. But you know the Clippers are going to head on in there, you know, playing, you know, like the Thunder don't have a chance to win. And it's just what the Thunder need. I think the Thunder are still a semi-talented team. They haven't really showed it yet this year. But fuck it. Thunder money line at home. We have them plus 18 in the tees. Let's get after it tonight. Three good bets for you right there. Free bets here. Well, not free, but I'm giving you free bets. Winners only in the Wilton household. That's all I got to say. Do your dance. Hop on these bets now while they're hot. My flick of the week this week. I'm taking it back to HBO. I love to pick new flicks and new movies time to time. I've been told I've used the same flick back-to-back weeks, which just shows that viewers are listening, which I love to hear. I have picked this one before, but I'm doing it again. So I think after the first episode, I picked it. And now on the last episode of season one, I'm picking it again. House of the Dragon. If you have not watched this series, right? I can't believe how many people are not watching it. I've heard a lot of people not watching it, not into fantasy. I'm not into Game of Thrones. Like, you're not into Game of Thrones? Like, I don't get how you, like, what is that? Like, what is the state? Like, it's just like, I mean, most people watch Breaking Bad, but I still know people that haven't watched Breaking Bad. It's like, what are you doing? Right? Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones have already should have been rewatched. Right? House of the Dragon, prequel to Game of Thrones. Season finale just happened. And let's just say that it's setting up for an insane season two. Right? Early on in this show, it's the same thing, right? Takes a couple episodes to get the show started. You have to accept it. Right? But that's the great thing about Game of Thrones. As soon as you think it's boring, someone's head's flying off. And you're like, well, and then someone else's head's flying off. That didn't happen in the season finale. No heads were flown off. But there are a lot of cool dragons. Right? Even more in the House of the Dragon, hence the name. There are cool dragon riding scenes, which, you know, a lot of time in Game of Thrones aren't. I mean, they'll be riding the dragon, getting into like a war scene. But there was a really cool in the season finale chase scene between two people, you know, the prince and, well, both princes, actually. So it was really cool. Just like I thought that was really cool cinematography for those two characters and their dragons. But ultimately, you know, a lot of development in House of the Dragon. I mean, if a completely different show from episodes 1-3 to 4-6 to 7-10. And I think that's just, you know, they've made me want to go rewatch Game of Thrones again, which I just might. And then once House of Dragons season 2 is out, watch all of season 1 again, and then watch season 2. Very well done show. If you haven't watched it, what are you doing? That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Huge weekend of sports. It's getting cold out here. It's getting nasty. Cuddle up. Watch some NBA. Watch some football. Watch the NFL. Pay attention to Fick. I love you guys. I love you all. Real Daddy, he's out. It is now time for my favorite segment on the Riddle Me That podcast, the Fickner Cup League of Champions. What a shape up in this week's power rankings. I was just in the lab crunching some numbers like I usually do Tuesday mornings. Last few weeks have not been a lot of shape up. Most of the shape up has been in the bottom of the league, which no one frankly cares about besides people that are in the bottom of the league. But that being said, the people at the bottom of the league for the first half of the year, the bumps, the tents, right? Even Big Sam this week, making their presence known. A lot of head-to-head matchups, a lot of love and blood being shed this week. It's just one of those weeks where it's like, wow, things are starting to become real. We had the number 1 and 2 teams face off between each other. The Tatas, the famous Tatas, Ethan Holman, 5-1, taking on the Revenge Tours, RMT, who is also 5-1, which leads me into my week 7 analysis. What a matchup this was. I want it to be known, right? Because there are, unfortunately, some weeks where you're not going to be at full strength, whereas the player you are is. And this happened to be one of those weeks, unfortunately, you know, happening between two of the top teams in the league thus far, the Tatas being down Jalen Hurts, Dallas Goedert, Cooper Kupp, and even Daryl Henderson. Who Henderson, you know, not the sexiest guy ever, but he was starting him. That being said, despite the Revenge Tours being, you know, in the driver's seat, supposedly, right? It was all but that. 100.1-98 victory over the Tatas. It was an insane matchup. One that caused RMT to leave the room twice on two separate days playing Holman. Holman, you know, he knows how to get in your head, right? He knows how to dig into those bones. And he did. He grinded my gears. It all started with Eno Benjamin Thursday night, scoring a weak-ass touchdown, a touchdown nonetheless, at the end of that stupid, stupid Cardinals-Saints game, gained 20 points to start this week. Where, you know, you look at his lineup. Not a bad lineup for having a lot of guys on buys. Aaron Rodgers, who outscored Lamar this week. Derrick Henry, Eno Benjamin, Pittman. And then it gets a little gross with Bateman and Otten. Otten on the Buccaneers also outscoring my starting tight end Pitts. But what it really comes down to is Breece Hall. And as you guys have all known, Breece Hall recently tearing his ACL during the game against the Broncos, was going off, right? Just got like a 60-yard touchdown. The Tatas were all of a sudden in the driver's seat, despite claiming he wasn't the whole day, which is why, you know, why after that Breece Hall touchdown, I had to politely excuse myself after cussing out Mr. Tatas and going on the porch, having to regroup. And at this time as well, Ja'Marr Chase left the game with a non-contact injury where I thought my season might be done. Somehow comes back. There's a lot going on when one of your key players gets hurt because you still want to win that week that you're in. But then you're like, does it even matter? Right? And that's definitely what the Tatas went through at the end when Breece Hall went down, not knowing, you know, if, you know, at the time before he tore his ACL, knowing like how I'm going to recover from this. Luckily, the Tatas are in good shape. They have a squad. He has James Conner. He comes back. You still have Cooper Kupp. You might have to get a little gross in the flex, but that's okay. The Tatas are still right there. Almost pulled it off, too. It took a Jalen Waddle, right? 10-spot performance, which he, you know, he got pretty easily, but was dicey. He did get only get one catch in the second half where he did ice it early, but then didn't get a catch the rest of the game. But ultimately, you know, excuses aside, you know, I almost was too nice right there to the Tatas, despite causing me to, you know, get a little mad this week. A win's a win. You know what? You cannot go into a matchup, you know, and text me on Tuesday basically making excuses already. You know what? It is what it is. I mean, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to bench my players, right, for you to make it even? No. Right? Just the luck of the bye weeks. Right? Is that my fault? I mean, some can say it was. Right? If you want to. Right? Use me as your scapegoat. But you know what I think this does only? Right? Is the Tatas are more motivated than ever. They're going to go back. Well, it's one or two things, right? Either the Tatas go back motivated or they leave flaccid and don't know how to regroup. You always got to regroup. There's always a guy in the waiver wire. You know, there's always another injury to be had. The Tatas at 5-2 are still right at the top of this league. Watch out for the Tatas on a rebound week next week. Watch out for them. I can see the Tatas responding in a big way. But moving to 5-2 while RMT moving to the top at 6-1. Just want to get that matchup out of the way first. Obviously, it was the game of the week last week. And it's tough to, you know, tough to go all in on a matchup like that, but it is what it is. It's fantasy. We live on. We're all men here. Liam's tent, right? Man of the hour, an RMT sleeper on the pod. Recently have been all in on the tents. It was a little hard on him to start the year, but to be fair, the tents weren't performing. But a huge win over the Yungulan Poon Chasers, Luke Lieber, 112-73. Just a great performance from the tents. Needed this win, right? I explained last week why I matched him up on the power rankings at the 8-9. Nasser proved that he belonged where he was, and then some, right? He got a win to move to 3-4. Four teams at 3-4 right now. The Tents are just where they thought they'd never be. Watch out for the Tents, right? Now it's starting to show the Tents are in playoff, are in the playoffs right now. They're currently the sixth seed in the playoffs. Let's make sure. Let's see. Yeah, they are currently the sixth seed in the playoffs, beating Ticket head-to-head, having the Met, you know, the tiebreaker in points for. Talk shit about the Tents all you want. I mean, we all got our Tent jokes in early, but it might start looking like we're going to have to watch, you know, what we said and put our money where our mouth is, because the Tents, I don't know if Liam's back in town, right? They probably got something cooking up in the Tent. Little Brokeback Mountain, maybe some video games, right? Maybe a little 1-2. Hoorah! But we love what we see in Tentville. Meanwhile, it's just, thank God that Lebo has the Phillies and the Eagles. What a time to be a Phillies and Eagles fan right now. Phillies in the World Series, Eagles undefeated. Sixers are going to be right there. Great time to be a Philly fan. Not so much a Chasers fan right now. I talked about maybe hinting at a name change last week. I don't know why he ever got rid of about that action. I mean, that's probably the best name in history. But currently losing now 4 in a row, moving to 2-5, tied with Big Sam at the bottom. Not where you want to be at this point in the season. Still time for Yuengling to turn it around, right? But, you know, starting B. Robinson and Kenyon Drake, that's kind of like a Coon starting right there. Never want to see that. But as I said, 2-5, still alive, but just barely. Yuengling needs to find out what the hell is going on. But go Philly. Huge upset here in this matchup. Minneapolis, Mike Caputo's heavy favorites in this matchup, taking on Big Sam. But it was Big Sam and the Bears D and Robbie Gould getting it done for him. 103-97. It came down, you know, everyone all week, right? Bears, well, why, of course, Sam's starting Bears D. Of course, he's starting Robbie Gould. Robbie Gould with the 14 spot, along with the Bears D, getting him 12 against the New England Patriots Monday night, getting the 6-point dub against Notto. A huge win for Big Sam. Not a lot of positive things to say about his team this year, but getting out of that cellar and now tied with at least somebody else at 2-5. Just like that, Big Sam with how many teams that are 3-4? Right, Big Sam wins again, right? Times with being 3-5, matching up with some other 3-5 teams. Big Sam is right now yet again in contention. So that's why we love this league, right? You can be 2-5, and you're right there. This league is sloppy, right? A lot of bottom-heavy teams, right? But you're never out of it. You never want to play a Big Sam first round of the playoffs, right? Because you know Big Sam's playing with house money. Right there he was, Notto. Just, you know, guys not showing up. Mark Andrews and Gallup, both with 0.4. You know, Kenneth Walker going off, doing his dance, 28. But, and, you know, even Alvin Kamara and Saquon, both 14, 15. But, you know, not anything out of his receivers. Dak with 12. Needed more out of him. So Dak has a good game. He probably gets it done. But ultimately, huge win for Big Sam on the road. Notto moving to 4-3. Moving into a huge matchup next week with RMT. We still love, you know, Notto at 4-3. Dangerous 4-3 team. Still a top team in this league. Notto looking to bounce back next week in another primetime matchup with RMT. The commissioner taking on the Barely Legals. Never close in this one. Another dud for the commissioner. Starting DeAndre Swift, who wasn't playing. Jags D, -2. Jared Goff, 1. I mean, just abysmal matchup for the commissioner. Legals, 125. Joe Burrow, 40. Aaron Jones, 25. Nick Chubb, 17. DJ Moore at 16. Even with the Hollywood Browns start, right? A 0 for Hollywood on Thursday night. Still puts up a 125. That is a dangerous team right there. Almost just knew like he didn't need him, right? He's like, oh, I'm playing the commish. I don't need him. Huge win for the Legals, moving to 4-3, coming off after a bounce back loss to RMT the week before. Somehow, you know, I was ready to throw in the towel with the Eagles off, you know, after that Brown start. But proving us all wrong here, almost got the highest points per week or in this week. But it was the flaccid bums with the game of the week, Coughlin bias, the bums bias is back. 134-95 against big ticket Nick Pastuovic. Pastuovic, never really in this one. Bums, Eckler with 30, Mahomes 26, Devontae 13, Hopkins 15, Freiermuth with 11. It was all around good performance for the bums, moving him right back in the playoffs at 3-4. Him in the tens, like I said in the beginning of the show, making the biggest leaps in this week's power rankings. We officially have the week 8 power rankings out. Most shape up that we've had in this season. The bums moving to 3-4. Ticket is 3-4. The tens are 3-4. And we have one more 3-4 team. Let's see who we have here. Oh, and we have the commish still alive at 3-4. So let's start at the bottom here. We're going to start at the bottom. I just love the buildup in this week's power rankings. And we're going to get right into it. We're excited to see what the rebuttal has to say. We now have a frustrated rebuttal. We had cocky Fox News in the beginning of the season. He's now under 500 at 3-4. We're going to see what he brings to the table this week and if he agrees with these rankings. He usually doesn't. But frankly, we just don't care, right? Rebuttal me this, rebuttal me that, rebuttal these nuts, Pastuovic. But we do love you, Pastuovic, because you know you were given RMT credit with, you know, he's allowed to come out with rankings, and Luke and Nasser are not. I do respect that. But you are rebuttaling this podcast, so yet again, rebuttal this. D. At number 10, we have, unfortunately, it just hurts me to say this, right? We have a new number 10, and that's Jungling. Luke Lieber coming in number 10, 4 in a row. Big Sam with getting a dub this week. I had to reward him, especially coming up against, you know, a top two, you know, a top three team in the league in Nato at the time. So I had to reward Big Sam, who at number 9 comes in also at 2-5. So we have 2-5 teams, Lebo and Big Sam. Big Sam on the way up. Lebo, but the cool thing about these two teams right here, if they both get a win next week, right? Or at least one of them does, they're right back in it at 3-5 because we have four, right? 3-4 teams. You'd think one or two of those teams are at least going to get a dub this week. So I love where they're at. They have to, you know, thank the Lords that they're still alive and there's a lot of 3-4 teams, but they're right in this thing. And number 8, we have someone that I would love to move lower, but I can't based off his record. The commissioner at 3-4, just another disgusting performance, 75 points, just gross. Goff, Swift, right? But he is 3-4. If he somehow gets it done again next week, he's right back in the mix at 4-4. So commissioner's at number 8, somehow, some way, still looking in. Holman style. Old Holman style. And number 7. We have someone moving down 2 spots this week as well. So Lebo moving down a spot. Big Sam moving up a spot. It's trending up. But then we have Liam's... Liam's 10. The commissioner moving down 2 spots from 6 to 8. Ticket moving from 5 to 7. A loss to Cough Daddy. A hard loss to Cough Daddy. And the bums. Bums bias was always a thing. Bums and temp bias, right? There's a reason I have that bias. And here we are. Because at number 6, we have Liam's tents, Mike Nasser. Huge temp bias, getting a lot of flack for it the last couple weeks. But here he is at number 6, getting that last playoff spot at the moment. So, you know, Nasser right into the thick of things in this year's thick playoffs. You know, it was looking tough ever since he's eaten those dogs, right? Good omens for Nasser. Won the last 2 out of 3 weeks. He's right back into it.
We love the tents and what this year's Cinderella story, I think, right now. But right in front of them, right, we have the bumps. Someone that had a midseason name change, Cough Daddy, moving to 3-4. You know, he's just kind of, you know, he won a couple weeks, then a hard loss, right? Moving to 2-4. Needed a win last week against Big Ticket, who was 3-3. And what does he do? Gets that win. Convincing win. Never close. 3-4. Bums at number 5. A dangerous 3-4 team, to say the least. And you know what? And you know what that means? It's just going to be more bum bias. The more you win, the more bias you get. At number 4 here, we have someone that we had to move down 2 spots this week. Losing to Big Sam, last in the league. That's just an unacceptable loss. Congrats to Big Sam for no one believing in you and getting it done. I love that, right? Playing with house money. Going to Nottoville and just being now a team that never really woke up, right? And so in retrospect, I usually, you know, with Notto being 4-2, he's a top team in the league. But, you know, you have to take week-to-week numbers, you know, and what they're getting that week versus, you know, their overall picture. So sometimes your power rankings, you're going to be moved because, you know, a loss to Big Sam, how can I not move you, right? That would just be disrespectful to the rest of the league. That would be disrespectful to Big Sam not getting recognition on getting a dub. So we're moving Nick Fornato down to number 4 this week. At 4-3, right? Usually, you know, with how these years' records have been, he'd get to stay, maybe get a free pass against Big Sam. But unfortunately, it was the Barely Legals getting it done this week as well, with, you know, the second most points scored in the league, moving to 4-3. I had to show him love. Even though we didn't start Hollywood Brown, that should be downgraded. You should be fined. But you still scored way more points than me, right? And more than, you know, 7 out of the 10 or 8 out of the 10 teams. So Matthew Kleinhans, Barely Legals, moving to number 3, which brings us to the number 2 spot in this week's power rankings. And it's someone that hasn't been here yet. It's someone that's been at number 1 the entire season. And for that, you know, from going to preseason to making it to week 8, being number 1, still have a chance to be number 1 next week, right? A lot of implications next week. But we have the Tatas, Ethan Holman, coming in at number 2, leaving the number 1 spot to the Revenge Tours, starting himself last in the preseason rankings this year. Maybe being a little too harsh on his team. Didn't know what he was going to get. But entering week 8 at 6-1. And it's just, what a ride it's been so far for RMT and the Revenge Tours. As I said, having the 10th pick, running back heavy league, not what we're going to get. But we got some depth. We got some players on some dog shit teams, right? Getting sloppy is what you sometimes have to do, and I am a person that knows that better than anybody. I learned from the best, though. Ethan Holman, right? Being friends with him, right? It's as sloppy as it gets. He's as sloppy as it gets, but he owns it, right? He's taught me how to own it. So if anything, the Tatas, right? The Bums, so sloppy, right? You learn sloppy tendencies, right? And sometimes you got to get gross, right? And you can't think about anything else but getting gross. And we're getting gross this year. We're only halfway through. It means nothing. But we're happy to be where we're at right now. Coming off a huge win against the Tatas last week. Don't know how we did it, but we're here. Going up against Minneapolis Mike Caputo. So getting into our week 9 preview here. I love going from that. It just goes from analysis, power rankings, predictions. So here we go. We're starting off with another game of the week. You know, RMT, you know, some people say that the schedule's soft. Well, playing the Tatas and Notto, here we go. Trying to knock off, you know, maybe the best 2 teams in the league in the Tatas and the Caputos, despite what the rankings say. Going into Notto land here, tough to go on the road, back-to-back games. We were on the road in Tataville. We're now in Minneapolis, Mike Caputoville, where it just kind of feels like it's like Clemson down there, right? It's just like Death Valley or LSU. But we're going to have to ride with RMT. I mean, once we pick up a defense, right, that's not the Packers, it's going to be close. We're going to be about 5-point underdogs on the road. I love the points and the money line, right? As Million Dollar Marco would do, take the spread, take the money line. So that's what we're going to do. We're riding with RMT, hot hand. Caputo's coming off a tough loss to Big Sam, so huge bounce back spot for Nato, as I said. So I'm kind of probably being, you know, hometown bias here. But we're taking the revenge tours. We think it's going to be close. Probably going to come down to a last second shot. But we like RMT on the road. Trying to prove the world wrong once again. Our next matchup here is one that is a must win for both. One team's on a 4-game losing streak. One's on a 3-game losing streak. And that's Yuengling Poon Chasers, Luke Lieber, taking on Dan Fernow's Vegas son, Nick Pastuovic. A huge, huge matchup here. A lot of implications. If Yuengling can win here, both teams will move to 3-5, giving the Chasers life again. So I'm taking the Chasers here. It's a team that's desperate for a win. Well, both teams are desperate for a win. But, you know, a lot of harsh words said from the rebuttals this year against Lebo. And then I feel like he jinxed him. He put Lebo third in his power rankings, right? And ever since he's done that, he's lost every game. So fuck you, Tiggett. Yuengling's going to win this game. Both moving you guys to 3-5, making it nice and hot at the end of this, you know, playoff push. I love that. Big Sam taking on Liam's tent. Another 2-5 and 3-4 matchup here. Big Sam, if he can get a win here, right? That will move four teams to 3-5. But we're taking the tens here. Big Sam, huge win over Nato. A lot of confidence in the locker room. But Liam's 10 on a 2-game winning streak. Knows if he can beat Big Sam, he's going to get back to 500. I'm taking the tens here. I'm taking my 10th bias. I think it's going to be a tough game. I think Big Sam's going to give him everything he got. This is a big rivalry right here. Big Sam, not the biggest fan of Nasser right now. Nasser, not the biggest fan of Big Sam. So it's going to be a slugfest, East Coast slugfest. But I think Liam's Town wins in a dogfight. A lot of good matchups this week. This is insane. The commissioner taking on the Tatas. A personal matchup here. Could be a trap game for the Tatas. You know, commissioner coming in after a tough loss to the Tatas, trying to find their mojo back after Breece Hall. I'm going to take the commissioner in this matchup. Just looking at the numbers, no one thinks the commissioner can do it. Perfect bounce back spot for him as well. He tends to come back after gross losses. I'm taking the commissioner this one. It's going to be gross. It's going to be sloppy. But I think the commissioner somehow gets it done. Making it so the Tatas got to figure things out coming into the next week. And the last matchup here, another huge matchup here. The Barely Legals taking on the Bums. 4-3, taking on 3-4. I'm taking the Bums at home in this one. The Bums are too hot going into this matchup. They have a lot of confidence here at Wilton. The Legals, even though they put up a nice number this week, usually tend to fall after putting up big numbers. So we're taking the Bums. Moving two more teams to 4-4. This is going to be an unbelievable week. Tons of playoff implications on the line. Let's go, Fick. I love this league. I love doing this. I love crunching numbers. Let's go. Let's go.